Well, hello everyone. Thank you for joining. What I'm going to be doing for a while is I'm going to be talking about revival. Now, I know that we're hearing about revival a lot on college campuses. We know that last year the Asbury revival kind of birthed something that sort of moved from campus to campus. And that's really a powerful thing to see young people having fresh encounters with the Lord. And so we'll mention some of those things, talk about that a little bit. But more importantly, I want to talk to you about personal revival. If you as a new Christian or you as a person were to encounter an early church Christian, a first century Christian, and you were to say to them, "Wow, I just have had this amazing encounter with Jesus Christ, and my life has been totally altered. I find that I'm seeing things as Christ sees things. I'm thinking and feeling like Christ sees and feels. I feel like as if Jesus is living his life through me. It's supernatural. I'm experiencing righteousness supernaturally, the very righteousness of Christ. Signs and wonders are happening through me, infecting the lives of other people. I kind of know a peace that passes all understanding. There's a joy that's unspeakable going on inside of me, full of glory." And if you were to give that report to a first century Christian, they would simply say to you, "Oh, you've become a Christian." And they would say that because that sounds like normal Christianity to them. So remember what the word revival means. The word vive just means life. And to revive is to bring something back to life. Either you raised it from the dead or something that's most semi-lifeless or not as it should be, you're bringing it back to normal life. And so we use the word revival, which is not really necessarily a biblical word. We're talking about things being restored to normal. But often when we think about the word revival, we think in terms of that we're just supposed to pray and pray into the hope of a revival that would happen, kind of like a Holy Spirit bomb dropping that we all kind of get to enter into. And we have examples of that throughout church history when there's been kind of those Holy Spirit bombs that have occurred, and the result is an area or people in a particular area or region had powerful impact and encounter with the Lord. Their lives were changed. But also, in all of those experiences and all those places, that didn't last very long. After a while, 10 years, sometimes a year, 2 years, sometimes 20 years, sometimes longer, but eventually things went back to the subnormal. And so we want to know, is there a way to experience revival, normal, in a sustainable way? And that's why I like to talk about revivals on a personal level. Now, I love corporate revivals, and usually what happens in a corporate revival, say like Asbury is an example. Asbury revival occurred because one student decided to stay behind in the chapel and by themselves just began to seek the Lord. There was probably a place in their own heart desperate for an encounter. And whenever God gets us to a place of desperation, we often have a sense of anticipation or expectation. And I say this a lot, that only the expectant give birth to anything. But desperation can also be a place where the enemy tries to use to destroy. But it's in that place of desperation that you either begin to anticipate with expectation, God doing something in your life, or the enemy begins to bring you into a place of destruction. And so the Lord gambles, that's not a good word, but he knows that allowing people to come to a place of desperation can have bad consequences, but it also he knows that it's most of the time true personal revival and corporate revival happens in an atmosphere of desperation. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But the point I was making is that one student had an encounter with the Lord and entered into personal revival. He had a breakthrough. And the result was one student standing outside the chapel heard what was going on and went in and had an encounter too. And then that thing just grew. You see, if you have a corporate, like a school, or like a group of students, or even a city, where there's just desperation, and so the atmosphere is kind of combustible for fire, Holy Spirit fire to happen. And if just one person or a small group of people have their breakthrough, have their encounter and have their breakthrough, that in a combustible environment can cause the fire to spread rapidly. And that's what happens when, quote, these Holy Spirit bombs drop. And that's a good thing. It's a powerful thing. But if in the process of all that, if a person really hasn't stepped into what's normal biblically, stepped into their personal revival and know how to sustain that eventually one by one, it'll just kind of drift away. And so I want to talk about experiencing personal revival. And if you walk in personal revival, I can tell you that you're going to be this is a word we use a lot. You'll be on fire. It won't be just sort of a hype thing. You'll be on fire. And anybody around you who might be desperate and therefore very combustible because they're hungry too, they're anticipating too, they're longing for more, they may catch on fire also. That's the way it works. But again, I want to talk to you about entering into a personal revival in your life that's sustainable. I want to recover a word called revival, the word of revival, to not just be this far-fetched thing out there somewhere that we're just kind of waiting around to happen. We're kind of waiting for Jesus to show up and do something. So all we can do is pray into it and hope it happens close enough to where it can affect us. Well, here's the deal. Instead of us waiting for Jesus to show up, you need to understand that he already has. And he's waiting for us to step up and for us to show up and to step into the life of Christ that is revival. So you can't get more normal or revived than the life that Jesus lives. And when a person discovers the gospel, they can be a Christian, but still not understand how powerful the good news is. That the good news has been that you've been incorporated into the very normal life of Jesus, normal from God's perspective. You've been incorporated into the righteousness of Christ. A righteousness normal would be a good word to describe righteousness. Normal from God's point of view. And so you've been grafted into, incorporated into the very life of Jesus. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 that the church is the fullness of him who fills all and is in all. That's an amazing statement. The church is and therefore should look like the fullness of Jesus because he's all. He's the life and he's in all. And so, but the thief who's come to kill, steal, and destroy tries to keep us from understanding who we are in Christ and thus who he is in us. Because he in us, set free to live through us, is normal, is revival. It's the righteousness of God in Christ being released in us. And it's a supernatural normal. But supernatural is the normal for the Christian. Okay? Now, let me read this verse to you. This is from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says this. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. And if you're children, you're an heir also. Heirs of God. That means you inherit everything that God is, everything that God has. Fellow heirs with Christ. Wow. Everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus has, is yours. Are we living that way? Because that's normal. What is normal for Jesus is meant to be normal for you in terms of how life works. See, what's normal for the Christian is how Jesus sees things, how Jesus thinks things, how Jesus feels about things, and how Jesus, the attitude that Jesus has about things, and the behavior of Jesus. That's normal, and that's revival. That's being restored to life. And life more abundant that Jesus promised to give us. So we're indeed heirs with Christ, fellow heirs with Christ. In verse 19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Wow. So what's going on in the world? Some of the nutty things that we see happening is actually, though they may not realize this, a people, a humanity, anxiously longing to see human beings that are revealing the very life of Christ. They want to see the revealing of the sons of God, the co-heirs of Christ manifesting this supernatural, normal life that Jesus lives. And so they're, in the process, they're just throwing everything against the wall, hoping it sticks. Every kind of issue that's going on in the world, you know, the whole identity thing, what's your identity, who are you, all that kind of stuff is happening because people are hoping they'll find something that works, that makes them experience freedom and wholeness. That's only going to be seen in Christians who have stepped into the revival that is the life of Jesus. Let me just read this couple more verses. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom, the glorious freedom of the children of God. Well, the people in this world are looking and hoping there is a glorious freedom that can be experienced by a human being. That a human being, that their humanity, can know wholeness and glorious freedom. But they don't see it. They're trying to find it. They're searching for it. There's demonic deception going on. But what's really needed is for the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, who are co-heirs with Christ, who have stepped into personal revival, to corporately begin to reveal there is a normal. And there is a glorious freedom in that normal. There's a wholeness. There's a life and life more abundant. And this is what it is. This is the life in Christ. So revival is so important. Your personal revival is so important because the people who live around you who don't know Jesus want to see that it's real, that there is a possibility for a human being to be completely whole, to walk in glorious freedom. So my prayer is in these time we spend together, my prayer and actually my expectation is that if you'll hang in there, we're going to do little bits at a time every day for the next months, that you personally will step into your revival. You'll step into the life that Jesus lives and you'll begin to experience glorious freedom in an extraordinary way. And be the testimony to a lost and anxious world that they need to see. The testimony of wholeness and freedom. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of Christians out there, maybe most, who don't understand this either. They don't really understand the gospel. Don't really understand what revival is. And that I'm praying that for each of you who maybe I'm assuming you're probably a believer, you're watching this, that you'll get hope. You'll catch hope as you watch this. You'll catch hope. That hope will catch you and that you personally will enter into the wholeness and the joy unspeakable and the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's your birthright as a co-heir with Christ. Okay? Well, that's it for today. We'll be back at it tomorrow, and we'll just keep inching along and in the process trust that the Lord, that deep will call us into a deep place in Him. Amen. God bless you.